At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
Well, you tried it just for once, find it all right for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks, and you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Welcome to episode 102 of The Screw.
Ooh, I like the way that rhymes.
The
temptation to just keep doing ASMR.
I know. Like, well, when you can hear yourself in your own ears all like sexual and shit.
Wow, we really kicked this up a notch.
It's nice, yeah. So if you didn't tune in last week, we're going to give you a little recap. And if you did, then you will know what we're talking about this week, which is our month's theme, which is paraphilias and fetishes.
Exploration thereof.
Sorry.
Let's clink on this.
Clink. I have shitty seltzer.
Well, whatever.
Cheers.
Bottoms up. Oh. All right. So kind of like the second episode in this series is kind of about debunking what we said or verifying what we said.
Right. So our first episode of our month's theme, we went through sort of the gist of what we know and what we don't know about paraphilias and fetishes, and we decided to question ourselves on what we think that they are and do a little research to figure out if we're right or wrong, which I think is good because we're holding ourselves accountable.
It's beautiful.
Instead of just being like, we know this thing and here it is. We're like making
sure
we're
talking out our
asses. Talking out of our butts.
Right. So what we said is essentially we have a few things
that
we said.
Yeah. So here's the summary of what we said. We first went over, what the actual definition of paraphilia is.
What we thought it was.
What we thought it was. And then we also went over fetishes and what we thought they were and sort of the difference. But is that the general gist?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Right. So what did we say? So what did you think a paraphilia was versus a fetish, etc.?
So essentially, I thought a paraphilia was something that was in the DSM, something that was non-normative or an obsession, and that a fetish was something that could be politicized, gender, age, race, something that people were just kind of into as a sexual interest.
Okay. And what did I say? I don't remember.
You said yes, everything that I had said about paraphilia, plus some sort of deviance or compulsion that you can't control.
Right. So I believe that the definition is going to include the word deviant in nature for paraphilia.
Right.
Whereas for fetish, I believe that it's more of something where there's no...
You said curiosity, enjoyment, not going to extremes necessarily, that you would derive a certain amount of pleasure within a certain parameter.
Okay, so right. So I made the example of like needing versus not needing the thing and how far you'd go to get said thing.
Right, exactly.
Right? So like a paraphilia, you'd go the extra mile to get the foot on your dick. Whereas if it was just a fetish, maybe you would just schedule it for a Saturday, and if it didn't happen, you wouldn't cry. I don't know, maybe.
I think that was...
That's a bad summation, but I think that's sort of the gist, correct?
So we also wanted to know, are some fetishes paraphilias?
Right. Like, where... I think what the big question was, where does the line live?
Where does the line live?
Because we know, just, off the top of our heads, we know that there are words that cross over from fetish into paraphilia.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the distinguishing line? When do I have a fetish versus when does it become a paraphilia and I should be maybe worried or should I be?
I think that was sort of
the line of questioning.
Absolutely. Another thing we wanted to know or explore more were, are there paraphilias or fetishes that can endanger your general or sexual health?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good question. And then we had some fun ones. What is the term for getting fucked by foot?
I still say footed.
Footed. Okay, you stand by that. Okay,
doubling down on the footed.
Then we had some curiosities on the stats around sexual assault and rape fantasies.
Sure, right.
And then we wanted to know, are any of our listed fetishes or paraphilias... Or are our fetishes paraphilias?
Right.
So just a reminder, yours were rape fantasy, sleeping beauty, exhibitionism, example, bent over a bridge, getting fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And mine were sense, role play, and intensity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like how you specified in these notes that I was bent over a bridge getting fucked.
Yeah, I like that example. It kind of makes it clear, you know, and you said that. We also were curious about what the foreskin fetish name was, or if there was one.
Right, so we questioned if there was a fetish or paraphilia for what, mm-hmm. the enjoyment of foreskin, or the just the presence of.
Right.
On partner.
Exactly, either
on way. On partner. I guess on yourself, too. You could be really into your own foreskin.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, that's
true. Why wouldn't you be?
That's true.
It's
that's
like a
true.
Little sheath of happy. You know, like
a little hoodie,
little hood of happy, a happy hood. Aw, foreskin is happy hood. T-shirt.
Oh,
me whispering
definitely.
T-shirt idea to Aaron. We're always in the mood to market.
Okay,
anyways.
So we did our due diligence here at the Screw Podcast, and we we looked up some of the investigated.
Sure, we
some
did.
Of the answers. And So let's start with paraphilia, per Oxford Language, a condition characterized by abnormal sexual desires, typically involving extreme and dangerous activities. What do you think about that?
So that's the Oxford Language definition.
Correct. So right. While it didn't say...
It says a condition.
It says a condition, which to me implies that's something that is... something that you could give a diagnosis to, right? A condition
okay.
is something that's diagnosed. So that kind of ticks the DSM.
That takes
off.
Some of the fun out of it. I have a condition, and it's...
Yeah, you have many.
More cowbell. No, but it's an interesting terminology. I don't know. I feel like that's something that we could probably debate forever.
Absolutely.
Right?
And so noted in there, while they didn't say deviant.
They said abnormal.
They said abnormal.
It's a condition characterized by abnormal sexual desires, typically involving extreme or dangerous activities.
Right. I mean, so it's okay, subjective what is normal, right? If that's a social construct to begin with.
Well, that's not subjective because there's a list of them, right?
Well, sure. So, per the DSM.
Per the DSM.
Right, but like,
this is what's abnormal.
Exactly.
Okay, interesting.
So fetish definition, which would be the next definition we were curious about, per Oxford Language Dictionary, is a form... Oh, there's a couple different versions of what this means. So the first one being a form of sexual desire in which gratification is linked to an abnormal degree of a particular object, item of clothing, or part of the body. An example given, Victorian men developed fetishes focusing on feet, shoes, and boots. So there's some overlap.
So they say abnormal again.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a fixation. I mean, it doesn't say fixation, but it says to an abnormal degree.
Abnormal degree.
Gratification is linked to this item or object or upset, you know.
Right.
It sounds very... That
so,
definition
so
sounds very
similar.
If it's
a normal degree, like,
what
is
the fuck
it
is
not
a normal
a fetish?
Degree?
Is it just something?
I just like it on Sundays. third day
you can
of the
see
month.
Where definitions and like, you know, kind of status quo like describe.
Well, is there another definition?
Another definition would be an excessive and irrational devotion or commitment to a particular thing. An example given is he had a fetish for writing more opinions each year than any other justice.
Okay, so that's not necessarily
so it's like a
sexual,
non-sexual, right? So That is a good point, though. Fetish being used in the term of, it's not necessarily something sexual.
It sounds like an obsession, honestly.
Right.
Which is what you used the term obsession, or one of us did, in the original guessing of what paraphilia was. So it's interesting that fetish is close.
Right. There seems to be some overlap in the definition. And the final just definition, which I thought was curious, an inanimate object worshipped for its supposed magical powers or because it is considered to be inhabited by a spirit.
So your fleshlight could be, it could have a fetish? How do I say it? An inanimate. Oh, so your fleshlight is a fetish?
Right.
It's an object that's inhabited by a spirit?
Yeah. And I mean, I think.
I don't know why it was your fleshlight that would have a spirit attached to it, but
I mean, some of these things are very spiritual.
Well, think about the death of all the semen in there, you know? all those dead babies inside of your fleshlight, you know?
So it seems to me like.
You're just like, I'm jumping over this. I fucking hate you.
Yeah. I don't know if we promised we would talk about dead babies or not.
Oh, no, of course we will. Of
course. So the more important thing is we were very curious, what is the kind of understanding of what the differences between these two things are? And we did find a very interesting definition. Fetishes are non-traditional sexual interests or behaviors, i.e. kinks, that are for a particular individual a deep and abiding and possibly even necessary element of sexual arousal and activity. Whereas paraphilias are fetishes that have escalated in ways that have resulted in negative life consequences.
Ooh.
So this is per PsychCentral.com.
Right, so you're going out and you're getting that foot on your dick when you shouldn't be because you're married or something, you know?
Exactly. So we're kind of talking about a degree
consequences
of difference here, right?
Sure.
Like maybe piss play is okay, but if you start drowning with the piss, then maybe it's a paraphilia.
Sure, like if the obsession if it gets in the way of your work, your health, your sleep, your ability to function doing other things, I think that's the idea. So the fetish is the obsession. The paraphilia is when the obsession becomes unhealthy to the person, mentally or physically.
That was well summarized. Yeah.
Right? I think that makes a lot of sense. Which is a lot of what we said is the combination plate.
Right. So they're
we were wrong in some
aspects.
They're
kind of part whole, if you will, right? So a fetish is a fetish until it becomes a paraphilia.
Right. So, like, maybe our word of advice is to, you know, seek the gratification of it on a limited basis. So
like
that way.
Balance, right?
Right. Like, it's like smoking when you only drink alcohol as opposed to every day of the week. These are terrible examples.
I know. But, you know, it is.
No,
it
but
is
you know what? In my personal life, I can say that I have had fixations and obsessions that have grown into a little bit unhealthy just because I wasn't getting off without that one thing or aspect of it.
Yeah.
So I understand kind of the line now a little bit more.
And I think, you know, one is always in the danger of becoming a one-trick pony, right? When we're talking about healthy sexuality, we're kind of talking about, like, something that can encompass a lot of different kinds of pleasures, not rely on...
It's like hyperfixation on food.
Right.
You know? I want to eat lasagna every night until I don't want it ever again.
Right.
You know?
Well said.
Or I'm going to eat it every night until I'm stealing to get the lasagna, I think is the other part, right? I'm fucking going hard every night to get that lasagna.
Or if you're, like, eating that lasagna in terms of, like, to a point where...
Like you ate your sister's portion, too. Right? Like, now we have unhealthy consequences.
Or you ate until you didn't feel well.
Right? You overate. Yeah.
There's that whole question about...
As I unbutton my pants because I overate today.
Right. Like, the kind of feeder-gainer kind of dynamic.
Sure.
Right? And I'd be actually curious for a deeper dive to learn more about feeder-gainer.
Well, we can do that next week on our deep dive.
Deep
dive on the feeder gainer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
No, I'd be interested to hear a little bit of the psychology behind that as well. So.
Absolutely. So in our question, to footed. So I wrote to be or not to be footed.
To foot or not to foot.
So we tried to do a very, you know, professional academic search on Pornhub.
Pornhub.
To see kind of what the prevailing kind of hashtag is for people who are looking for this kind of fetish, if you will.
And it wasn't footed.
It wasn't footed.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, so it looks like foot fucking was the overall popular term. We got a lot more.
And that's funny consistent. Because I would assume that would be a foot job. But when we did our research, the foot fuck came up with more yields of foot insertion penetration of either asshole or pussy.
Right.
And the footed actually had less, did it not?
It did.
That's disappointing.
It did. And the term footing gave us a, which was kind of like the second that like provided some sort of like level of insertion, but it was more of a variety, including foot jobs. So footing seems to be a more generalized foot play kind of term, right? And also we noticed that an alternative tag for this was foot fisting.
Yes, which I was surprised by, but also that makes the most sense because
absolutely.
I was like, well, if it's fisting, then it's footing. But also, no, that would be not the right. It would be like the equivalent of footing would be handing. So it's all confusing. But foot fisting, immediately, I understand what that means. It
absolutely.
Means... taking a whole, it's almost like saying you have a leg sleeve. You don't call it a pant in tattoos. It's just you give the term that elicits the right, you know, it gives
yeah.
you the right
image.
Imagery.
Yeah.
So like we never really looked at legs being fully tattooed. So we would call arms being fully tattooed sleeves because
right.
they're the fuck. So now we call them leg sleeves.
Leg sleeves.
Right. But it's not a fucking sleeve. It's a pant. And nobody's right. like, oh, I got my calf panted today. You know, they say sleeved.
And that leaves maybe this is something for the deeper dive as well. Like, is there an escalation? Like, does somebody go from, like, being into a fisting fantasy and once they've, like, you know, sought all they could in the exploration of fisting, do they then upgrade, so to speak, to foot fisting?
I'm interested. You know what? That's a good question for the deeper dive. Do you have to have a foot fetish to be into foot fisting?
Right.
Or is it more of a fisting fetish that transforms into a foot fetish because typically your feet are a bit bigger than your hands?
Beautiful. I can't wait to have a very like lengthy discussion about what was the other one that we feeder gainer and
well, and we can also
fisting footing.
Look at potentially amputee penetration paraphilias too, which I'm assuming is a thing.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's a thing.
I think the deeper dive overall is like penetration by objects that aren't necessarily the typically seen objects, right?
Well,
like,
the body parts, we should say.
Right.
You know, like, is there an elbow thing?
Oh.
You know, is because an elbow might feel fantastic.
I've heard, and I don't know if it's urban legend, of things like heads. Like,
a full head.
A full head.
I've heard of that. I don't know if
it feels
urban
legend-y, right?
Well, think about it. Like, you have a hard time getting a full baby head out of you.
Right.
It's not like it's a walk in the park. It's not like
but
that's
I feel
just
like I've seen some
slide.
Fucking babies with, like, full-size adult heads. Like, some
sure.
big-ass headed
okay.
babies.
Okay, yeah. But I don't know if that... I mean, is that person making a porn within a week of giving, you know? I don't know what the logistics are, but we could look into it.
Fair.
Sure.
Fair.
I mean, also, some people might have a small head, you know? Who's to
true.
Say? Why are we discriminating against small heads?
True.
We should not
a
do that.
A little pimple of a head.
Oh, God. Well, when you say it with such loving terms.
Okay, so moving along to a little bit more serious and somewhat like intriguing topic, we decided to do a little dive on sexual assault and rape fantasies.
Yeah, only because it got brought up in the conversation.
It did, right? Yeah, so we're testing ourselves.
We're not just randomly throwing it into the mix. Or
yeah, right. Exactly. So. So this kind of first stat, which comes from the National Library of Medicine study on the subject, that 62% of women reported some sort of rape fantasy.
Just in general.
62%. 62%.
That's such an interesting statistic. And when we were doing the research on that and we found that to be like the overwhelming... I know it was like
consensus.
Probably the same study, but
I think a lot of things were based off of this study because the N, which they referred to the number of participants, was fairly large. So they feel like they got a good
swath,
good impression swath
to answer. and within that, were we able to answer the question? Is there a direct correlation between sexual assault and rape fantasy?
So I'm glad you asked. So according to Psychology Today, as analysis of a couple of studies, 15% of study participants had reported being survivors of sexual assault. 15%.
That's such a small number.
Right. So, and that's the total study, right? So the research found no relationship, either direct or inverse, between real-life rape and whether participants had any type of rape fantasy. So that would imply, no, that there is no necessary
correlation. I think there could also be, not everybody's truthful in that sort of conversation. So there is that question of, did we get but I feel like when they're anonymous and all that, we could
it's pretty good. Yeah. So, I mean, the study went on to say, contrary to the conventional wisdom that rape fantasies are based on blame avoidance, I was coerced, it wasn't my fault. The researchers found that this was the least supported explanation. The most sexually anxious, guilty, and repressed women had the fewest rape fantasies.
Interesting.
Yes. So the data also provided...
So it wasn't a punishment to oneself sort of thing.
No, it wasn't.
Sure. It was instead an embracing of sexuality in a different way.
Correct. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a good point that you said. The data said that for the most supported idea for sexual open was that sexual openness indicated whether these fantasies were possible. The idea, I'm free to fantasize about anything, followed by sexual desirability. I'm so hot, I drive men crazy. So the kind of fantasy that I'm irresistible, right?
That's hot, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
So overall, the most sexually open and self-accepted women had the most rape fantasies. They also had the most fantasies of consensual sex, and they reported the most arousal from their erotic fantasies.
Interesting.
So sexual openness seemed to be an indicator of whether this fantasy came into play.
This makes sense because when I think about my own self, and I'm going to be giving, we should probably trigger a warning the whole entire conversation.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to be giving some personal info. I personally have a rape fantasy, but I don't think when I'm looking back at actually the fantasy itself or the fantasies, they have absolutely nothing to do with my actual
trauma.
Mm-hmm. They're nothing alike. Mm-hmm. They don't have any similar overlaps, so it makes sense that my rape fantasy has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I have actually been a victim of sexual assault. So this makes sense to me. Like, it's all clicking. I'll say this. I have run into a lot of women that say I've been sexually assaulted.
Sure.
And in a way it gives me the ability to gain back the consent within the fantasy of a non-consensual, right? It's like
Absolutely.
It's like you get to take back the narrative.
Absolutely.
And I think that maybe it's only because I've only talked to like a couple handfuls of people about this, but that's what I found in my personal studies.
And there may be some sort of kind of correlation that women who have more sexual openness, this would be a strategy that they would use, right? That if you're there with more sexual openness, that this may be an available option for how you own some power over it, right? So a very important detail about the study, and probably the most important, is that women who answered these questions stated that, especially those who have fantasized about rape, don't want to be sexually assaulted.
No.
Again, I repeat.
Absolutely.
Fantasy is fantasy. These women do not want to be sexually assaulted. They feel comfortable with their own sexuality and are happy to embrace their erotic fantasies wherever they may be.
Which is always an interesting point that I feel like is often, it's taboo, it's controversial, and it's awkward, right?
Right.
It's awkward to discuss the fact that there are a lot of places that actual people with the desire to take somebody's ability to say no away, they can go and actually in a safe space practice this without actually hurting anybody. So if you are listening out there, and listen, the fucking numbers are out of this world insanely high when it comes to predators and people that have the desires that I'm discussing. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it's not as common as it fucking is.
Right.
You are listening, which the statistics say you are. Somebody out there is listening and you have these desires. There are places where actual consent exists within these. And there are women that want to partake in rape fantasy with consent again.
Right.
And, maybe that's a road to go down. Should we edit this out? Is this horrible for me to sit here and talk to rapists directly? Like, I feel fucking weird.
No, but it's not. But it's
help me get out of the shame of how I feel right now.
I think it's very important because people hear certain things like this and they maybe are thinking, oh, well, if there's women having these fantasies, then that means they want to be assaulted. And
of course not. Not at all.
We're creating a very clear line that the fantasies are something that two partners are allowed to discuss and negotiate amongst each other.
Right.
This is not something you should ever assume, take for granted, or just put into play without some level of discussion and communication with your partner, whether they're a one-night stand or a fucking long-term partner.
Right.
And because one can't skirt around the reality of these things existing, mm-hmm. it is important to talk about them because they are things that people don't talk about. And in lieu of that, it's important to get that information out for healthy sexuality. And I do think that is important. So there you have it.
Healthy alternatives to...
Healthy alternatives.
Horrible... situations. What could be horrible, right?
Exactly. So, you know, kind of like leading up to that, we were actually curious about some of the fetishes that we listed having interest, if they were paraphilias or fetishes, or what the kind of terminology was for those.
Right.
Like, did they fall into that category? We were kind of discussing, trying to ask the question, did any of our fetishes fall into the category of paraphilia or fetish? And if so, what was the terminology being used for them?
Sure.
So, for example, your rape play fantasy would be known as biastophilia or raptophilia.
Rapto?
Uh-huh, rapto. Not raptor.
Not
like...
raptor. Oh, Jesus.
Not Jurassic Park style.
What an interesting term. Okay.
Whereas, in general, for fetish terminology, it would just be called a rape fantasy.
Okay, so when it becomes unhealthy, it's raptophilia.
Correct.
Is that what we're getting at? Okay.
That is what we're getting at. In the case of you getting bent over a bridge. In looking into this, it was kind of clear that there was not a general paraphilia described for kind of public sex scenes or people who like to do things, what we would consider exhibitionism.
So there isn't a paraphilia term.
Mm-hmm.
But what is exhibitionism in the that's in the DSM?
So basically, exhibitionism in the DSM is exhibitionism, and they defined it as the exposing of one's genitals to unsuspecting and non-consenting others.
That's flashing.
That's flashing, right?
But that their term is exhibitionism?
Correct.
See, okay, I fucking hate that, right? Because if you ask, you know, 9.5 out of 10 kinksters what exhibitionism means, it means being watched, typically by consenting people.
Correct.
Yes. The thrill of being on a bridge where I don't know who's watching is thrilling, but do I want, like, a kid to fucking drive by? No.
Right.
That's why that's a fucking fantasy.
Right.
But the actual, in reality, is that, like, if I were in a room and my partner was fucking me with an audience, I'd be into that. If they wanted to be there, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of in this case, it seems like the fetish community has very much...
Rebranded it,
you know, fitting into a specific that can involve, like, more than one person in the sense that, like, you know, I found it very interesting because it turns out it seems like the BDSM community has one particular definition for exhibitionism while, like, you know, the paraphilia definition is flashing.
It's shitty. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's not my fantasy. So clarity. That's good.
So your Sleeping Beauty fetish for the paraphilia version, the extreme version, would be called somnophilia.
I know that one.
Which, like, you know.
Because I'm a scumbag.
You heard somno is Latin for sleep, right? So yes. Insomniac is not being able to sleep, right? And you know, in the fetish community, it's the Sleeping Beauty fetish, obviously.
Right. Does the DSM imply that it's without consent or no, right?
I don't think it does.
Okay.
I mean, because it's about the person who, because of what it's based on, it's
the person who's sleeping.
The person who's sleeping has the fetish.
Right.
It's something.
That one is always a gray area, which is why you can't really show it on a lot of porn sites because it's that whole idea that a sleeping person can't consent. And I understand. That's why you can't be drunk in a porn, right?
Right.
I understand all of these things, but at the same time, I can absolutely say, if within the next hour you want to fuck me and I'm not even, you know, I'm not passed out on drugs, I'm just sleeping.
Right.
You know, if you wake me up with your something inside of me, I'm okay with it, you know.
Right. There you go. So, and we've discussed that before.
No, I know. I like to just clarify for people that it's not a, you know, I don't know what's going on. We all know what's going on.
Exactly.
We're not sleeping that hard through it.
Exactly. So it seems for my scent fetish, if you will.
Oh, yes, yes.
The extreme version of that is called olfactophilia.
Ooh, there's one for that. That's fun.
Yeah. And, I mean, there were all sorts of fucking names for it in terms of the fetish community. Like, I've heard things like scent pig or whatever, but, like, you know, maybe that's more of a queer, like, terminology. But it seems like smell fetish was, like, the overwhelming part. So, and then for my role play fetish, so this was an interesting one. It says, basically we came to the understanding that the paraphilia name depends on the type of role play. So there's subcategories that define whether
like
it's
role playing that you're asleep, for example.
Right.
Somnophilia. Right.
Things like, you know, character, you know, role play versus like age role play versus like things like that, you know?
Got it.
So
you gave more of a general.
Yeah. So a role play fetish is like, you know, typically I would expect on like a hookup act, if somebody says they're into role play, you say what kind of role play.
Sure. That's where the either fetish or paraphernalia.
And that's where you would get your fetish or paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia.
I knew I was going to say that at some point.
Paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia, especially as I get like more stoned. Okay. So, you know, I'm like, so there was no fetish or paraphilia name for the idea of sexual intensity as like
passion sex.
Yeah, like passionate, like, you know, fucking met on the beach and just like had to fuck each other right then and there, you know, like
primal erotica.
Right. I mean, it's essentially like you're saying passion, but it's like, you know, intimacy either does or doesn't need to be there. It's just like the intensity of the interaction.
Intense.
Yeah.
Intensity.
So
Intensity by Calvin Klein.
Didn't make this list. All right. So
okay, so you have paraphilias that aren't paraphilias at all.
Basically.
They don't even have terms.
It makes me sound like kind of vanilla and old fashioned.
You're not vanilla at all. It's that you like everything. So then therefore you like nothing. You know, it's like one of those things.
I think
there's no term
like,
for it.
I mean, and that's the thing, you know, we've talked about it before, but the idea of satiation levels, even within like fetishes, right? Like the question is like, how many times do you get pissed on before you like aren't excited by it? Or is it constantly
are
exciting?
Oh, now I have to ask you the question. Feel free to skip. Are you no longer excited about being pissed on?
You know, I've always been kind of piss versatile, like as far as like
I'm a piss first.
But like, you know, I think there becomes like, you know, like, see me, I'm, like, not a one-trick pony, you know?
Right.
Like, it's very much
but
a mood
you,
and a moment.
You were, you were riding that pony for a little while.
Well, I think because I was fascinated, like, how many people you bump into that are in a particular fetish, right?
Sure.
Which is kind of, like, the interesting part of, like, us, like, analyzing, like, fetishes and paraphilias. It's like, I've always found it, like, absolutely intriguing how you can meet people that come to a fetish from a bunch of different angles, right?
Sure.
Like, some are into it because they were overexposed to it, like some sort of thing that's almost like it but not it, that they derive some kind of pleasure out of, versus like just like completely randomly being curious or like, you know. And I think that's the thing about, for me, like some kinks, like eventually just like, you know, they're not as exciting the more you've gotten to participate.
They're not new anymore.
Right.
Sure.
And like,
that makes sense.
They're also like less and less. I think, you know, I probably have like a curiosity and like interest in things that are like somewhat non-normative, just because we know we're fed what the normative is all the time, you know? So like, let's figure out a way to like be curious about things that like aren't harmful, that like let us do something that for whatever reason for you or humans in general is exciting. You know, and water sports, piss play seems to be like...
It was so, so taboo.
Yeah, and now it's kind of like people are just like, oh, you know, like rimming. Like you once told me,
well,
like Beyonce mentions like eating the booty like groceries. Like, and I was like thinking, wow, you know, like everybody eats ass now.
Right.
And why is that? Maybe like conventional sex or normal sex in heavy quotes is like,
I honestly
lost
think
its
media
excitement.
Has a lot to do with it. Media determines what is and isn't A, something to joke about, or B, something to like, you see the shift in like 2000s, like the mid 2000s comedy.
Sure.
All of a sudden we have men admitting that they like being pegged. We have women admitting that they peg men. Like in Broad City, for example, like very commonly watched shows. We have the shift in movement of like men finally,
but
you
is
know,
it chicken
admitting
or the
to
egg?
Being in
like,
into it.
Because if we look at Kenzie, people have always been interested.
Oh, not no. I'm saying what's happening is that media is showing it more.
Right.
Media is
showing
it. And
why are they showing it more?
Because we're trying to shock A, the audience first, but then B, demystify it, right? And it's like, because you expect the easy joke is to make fun of the person that likes being pegged. The smart joke is to make fun of the person that doesn't like being pegged. And so that's what happens. These TV shows, these movies, they have a shift in what's funny because it's no longer smart enough. And so now...
So that's kind of like
satiation
levels,
right? Sure. It's an evolution. It's like the more exposure you have to the thing, the less taboo it is because it's just a thing that everybody fucking does. Whereas 20 years ago, eating ass is like, whoa, that's gay. That's a guy gay thing.
Right.
No, it's not. That's a fucking enjoying the rim of your butthole feels nice and sensitive. You
or
know?
Like a woman using the word pussy would just be considered like scandalous or like nasty. Like
It's like, what do you call it now? Like nobody else has any other words. It's just a wet ass pussy. It's just normal. And that's again, that was a song. Like it's the shift of, and of course there's always people sitting there fighting along, but for the most part, there is a huge fucking shift.
Right.
The only other thing I wanted to say about fetishes is that I personally, which is something I want to do a deep dive on for next week, I want to know what is the percentage of fetishes as far as what percentage of fetishes are created in your childhood?
Interesting. Okay.
And is that a thing that they've been able to do a study on?
Oh, that's cool. Definitely.
Because honestly, I think my guess, and you can say yours, my guess is that... Yeah, I wouldn't say like 80%. And like you were discussing that fetishes come about different ways, like curiosity, which I remember I had a bit of a urine fetish for a bit because it was taboo, but you introduced it to me really, like in a serious way. And then
Fair
I did
enough.
It with my partner, and then I, you know, at the time, you know, whatever. And
even that, there's an example of it being anywhere from like a humiliation type fetish to a like worship type fetish.
Right.
Like I'll like any liquid from my man kind
of
thing.
Well, that's the other piece of it. It's like, okay, which piece of it is the fetish? Is it the for me it was humiliation. I want to be degraded in every way. And if you pee on me, it's the last form that I'm okay with you doing that's really naughty and gross, even though I was in a tub or in a pool or something like that, you know.
I think I was more curious and the power that could be obtained by like learning other people's like fetishes that like when you indulge it, like it gets you some weird unspoken cred that they'll often shame you for in public, but one that's very valued in like the get your freak on community. And I think like what I just noted is there felt like a correlation to more kinky, curious, or like exploring or people who varied it up kind of people and like their level of passion and level of sexual excitement rather than the
right. I still have people like somebody messaged me last night to ask about like how to use a butt plug. You know, it's just we'll always have those people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, if you, like, are fortunate enough to have people that text you, like, 10, 15, 20 years after the first time you fucked their brains out, and they're still like, you're my top five, baby, you're my top five.
Nice.
That is how I want to fucking die. I want to die somebody still fucking texting me that I was
in
their
top
five.
Can you believe I am 2 years away from my 20th anniversary of getting fucked for the first time? Two
Wow.
years.
Holy shit.
Nobody.
What is that?
There should be no Felicia Rose fucking for 20 years on this planet. That just feels illegal.
What do they call 20 years of marriage?
I don't know.
Something like bicentennial.
Like whatever.
That's 200
years.
Like not silver.
Is that 200
or
years?
Bronze or something. Whatever.
I have no idea.
The bronze anniversary.
It's my bronze. It's my golden shower anniversary.
All right. So we have a game coming up for you, but just to wrap this up, we had a question about if there was a particular name or terminology for foreskin fetish.
Oh, right. Yes.
And there was no paraphilia listed. Mostly it was just referred to in a fetishy kind of way as foreskin fetish, you know. But I would imagine if enough people demonstrate,
I feel like the DSM is fucking stupid and doesn't understand that there's all sorts of fetishes they miss,
or they just haven't like had anybody come into their purview or study or like however they gather their data that like states that they have been interested in this in any level of incidence worth having nomenclature for, right?
Sure. So. Yeah. Basically, nobody has been obsessed with somebody else's foreskin so much that it caused an extreme or dangerous situation.
Right. They weren't out there just kind of like...
Unzipping and pulling.
Give me that foreskin. Give me that.
I need it.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have our
game show of the week, essentially.
And I am going, we have an intro for it.
Yes.
Because this is like now a fucking
hit
thing.
It, baby.
Boom.
And now for our game show,
Name That Paraphilia. All right, motherfuckers.
So this game show is, we're going to name a paraphilia, and the other person has to guess which paraphilia it is.
Exactly.
Are we giving the definition? And then we name the paraphilia? How are we doing?
Okay,
hold on. I like how we don't know the
rules. I think we're going to describe, like, let's give the name and see if you can guess what it means.
Oh, there we go. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so, like, if you hear a oh hell no, which we utilized last
week. That's wrong.
Or, like, a sexy, I've done that before, I think, or something.
Sure.
It's something like that. That will indicate whether
we're saying I've done that before after, like, a fucking filthy paraphilia.
That's why it's fucking
it's
funny.
It's like tarantulophilia. I've done that before.
Right. We'll put a disclaimer. This is all random, but, like, I think, like, you know.
Why don't I just say, that's wrong. And you don't have to hit a button. It's just me.
That's beautiful.
There you go. Bitch. Oh, fuck.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your first one?
You first.
Okay, me first. Okay,
first.
Here we go. yeah, okay.
There you go.
Okay, here we go. Abasiophilia.
Abasiophilia. I'm just gonna randomly guess if I don't know. The attraction to face skin.
Ooh.
What is it?
No.
Face skin.
So it is erotic interest in people with impaired mobility.
That's terrible.
I suppose if they didn't have face skin, that might have something to do with their impaired mobility.
God.
Okay, what's
mine? We're getting canceled tomorrow.
Fuck that.
Okay. Yours is... Should I give you the definition or the word?
The word.
Okay.
Oh, okay. The definition.
Yeah.
I like it. I like this. We'll choose this.
Okay. Legs.
Wait, legs?
That's the definition.
Ooh, okay, legs.
Like literally, that's the entire definition.
Legs. Fuck, pantyhoseophilia?
Nope, it's crurophilia. C-R-U-R-O. Philia.
I'm interested in the origin of that name.
And also, it's just legs. Like, what the
weird,
fuck? One word.
Okay, do you want the word or definition? Or definition.
Excuse me. Oh my God. Definition on this.
Okay. Eating, feeding, and weight gain.
Eating, feeding, and waking?
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Milfophilia?
Nophophilia?
MILF.
MILF.
Like mommy thing.
Oh my God, that's so funny. It's called feederism.
Oh gosh.
I know.
Okay.
Wait,
what is it again?
Eating, feeding, and weight gain.
Oh, weight gain. No. I thought you said waking. Like, waking up. I was like taking a care of a person?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. I knew it. That's feeder. I would have said feeder, though.
Oh,
because
yeah.
We talked about it earlier.
So it makes sense. It's feederism.
Okay. All right. My bad. Sorry. Okay. I misheard you. Okay. myso, M-Y-S-O, philia.
Heartbeat into like heartbeat.
That's actually a good guess. It's dirtiness, soiled, or decaying things.
Interesting. Okay.
Give me the word. Hit me with the word.
Formicophilia.
Formicophilia. Formico.
Yeah.
F-O-R-M-I-C-O.
Philia.
Formico. I feel like I'm spelling it. It's spelling me. Can you give me an origin? No. It is...
Some of these are hilarious.
The sexual attraction to somebody or body embalmed in formaldehyde.
Oh, interesting. Kind of close by, like, degree. Being crawled on by insects.
Fuck, that's disgusting. I'm sorry, that's a phobia. So I'm sorry if that's your philia, but that's my phobia.
Well, maybe that's a thing too.
Fuck off.
Ugh. What do you
All
got?
Right, sorry. My last one is, oh God, why did you have to read me that one? I'm going to have nightmares now. Okay. I don't know how to say this. Let me try it. Autogonistophilia.
Gonad, sexual interest, fascination.
I like how you're like, I'm going to pick this piece of the word.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's a smart
thing.
That's
my strategy.
That's a smart thing.
That's my strategy.
No, but it's being on stage or on camera.
Ooh.
Which I think I have a little bit of that. Not the filial part of it, I don't think.
Oh, I see.
But I do like being on stage or on camera.
Interesting.
Which I just realized that I picked one that I'm kind of... thrilling, you know.
Can I do a bonus one?
Sure, yeah. Bonus boner.
I'm gonna give you the definition.
Wait, how many did I get right?
None.
And yeah, you got
none.
Okay, cool. Wonderful.
Turning a human being into a piece of furniture. it's a more obvious one.
Okay.
Think of like the subject of the word. Turning a human being into a piece of furniture.
Fernophilia?
Yes!
I got it right.
You got it on the fucking head. Good job.
Kind of gave me a hint.
And, yeah, so...
And that's the bottom bitch.
Jesus Christ. I don't know sometimes if I love us or fucking hate us.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we're done?
We are done.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We played our game. We're done.
We are finished.
I've done that. We sure haven't. So again, thank you everybody for tuning into The Screw. We will be back next week with a deeper dive on everything that we just kind of just dissected and then questioned again. So we're pulling back the layers of paraphilia.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions or want to participate, hit us up at screwpodcast@gmail.com. Or whatever.
Yeah, gmail.com.
So, yeah, there
screwpodcast@gmail.com.
God damn, these things just flow off our lips.
Yeah, they do. Or the Screw NYC on Twitter or Instagram.
And as always, visit newqueerorder.com.
We're on TikTok now, too.
Oh, we're on
TikTok. Titty, titty, TikTok.
The Screw on TikTok. We got to do something funny.
We do.
All right, we'll figure
it
out.
Later.
Okay.
So thank you again, everybody. Please like and subscribe. The more numbers we have, the more things we can do for you.
That's right.
And we want to do fucking it.
And if you want to sponsor us.
All right. Well, just at least like and subscribe. With that.
And
comment that you like us. Give us 5 stars.
Yeah, there you
5
go.
5 starfishes.
5 star babies.
5 chocolate starfishes.
And we'll give you
some
5 star
hot dog flavored
service.
Water.
Right.
We love you.
Love you. You're all gasmatics. Sneaking in the back door with Teddy magazines. So your mother